यत्करोषि यदश्नासि यज्जहोषि दधासि यत् यत्तपस्यसि कौन्तेया तत्कुरुष्व मदर्पणम् यत्करोषि यदश्नासि यज्जहोषि दधासि यत् यत्तपस्यसि कौन्तेया तत्कुरुष्व मदर्पणम् यत्करोषि यदश्नासि यज्जहोषि दधासि यत् यत्तपस्यसि कौन्तेया तत्कुरुष्व मदर्पणम् Yat, whatever, karoshi, you do, yat, whatever, ashnasi, you eat, yat, whatever, jahoshi, you offer, dadasi, you give away. Yat, whatever. Yat, whatever. Tapasyasi, austerities you perform. Kaunteya, O son of Kunti. Tat, that. Kurushva, do. Mat, unto me. Arpanam, as an offering. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. Purport. Thus, it is the duty of everyone to mold his life in such a way that he will not forget Krishna in any circumstance. Everyone has to work for maintenance of his body and soul together. And Krishna recommends herein that one should work for him. Everyone has to eat something to live. Therefore, he should accept the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna. Any civilized man has to perform some religious, ritualistic ceremonies. Therefore, Krishna recommends, do it for me. And this is called archana. Everyone has a tendency to give something in charity. Krishna says, give it to me. And this means that all surplus money accumulated should be utilized in furthering the Krishna consciousness movement. Nowadays, people are very much inclined to the meditational process, which is not practical in this age. But if anyone practices meditating on Krishna 24 hours a day by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra round his beads. Prabhupada didn't say on the clicker, which is now becoming popular in many parts of this country. Chanting Hare Krishna on the clicker. Prabhupada said chant on his beads. He is surely the greatest meditator and the greatest yogi, as substantiated by the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Om Jnana Timanandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manovishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupakadhamahiyam dadati svapadantikam. Krishna is giving a very simple formula here. It's actually a very simple formula. How to be happy. In this world, there are so many attempts to be happy. But they go about it in such a complicated way. Isn't it? Just like there's two ways to scratch your nose. You can scratch it like this. Or you can scratch it like this. So this is the karmic way to try to enjoy. They try to scratch their nose like that. It's actually such a simple thing, you see. Krishna is there. He wants to enjoy. So from himself, he expands innumerable, an infinitude of living entities, so that he can have an infinitude of loving relationships. So the very purpose of our existence is simply to love Krishna. That's all. We have no other reason to exist. But since love cannot be forced, it has to be voluntary. Therefore Krishna says, all right, you share in my quality of independence. You can love me or you can leave me as you see fit. So most living entities, they think, well, this is so wonderful, loving Krishna. I wouldn't think of doing anything else. But sometimes, because that tendency of independence is there, out of an infinite number of living entities, there's always some chance some of them will misuse that independence. And to those who do so, then Krishna gives them full facility, just like the mother and the moon. The little girl was looking out the window in the moonlit night, and she was seeing, what is that beautiful ball? And she was saying, Mommy, Mommy, give me, give me. Can a mother give the child the moon? Is that at all possible? No, of course not. It wouldn't fit through the window. But the mother can give the child the illusion of possessing the moon. In this way, the child feels so satisfied. Oh, my mother loves me so much. She has given me the moon. She has the mirror in her hand. Of course, the trouble is when the moon moves, it disappears from the mirror. And the illusion is over. But at least for the time being, the child thinks, yes, now I possess the moon. So in this way, the mother pacifies the child temporarily. So Krishna gives the foolish living entity who wants to be God. He gives him the illusion that, yes, you are God. Yes, you are God. For some time. But it doesn't last very long. You see? The living entity thinks, I am God, and then he feels like he's lost his position. He tries to get it back in so many ways. You see? Struggling, struggling, struggling. Tries to get it back in the academic world by getting a PhD. He tries to get it back in the business world by, you know, becoming a millionaire. He tries to get it back in the political world by becoming, what is that in French, Germany? The chancellor, is it? He tries to get it back in the music world by having a platinum album, is it? And if he fails in all his attempts, he tries to get it back by Mayavadi philosophy, is it? But even, so whether he goes as a karmi to try to get that position of supreme enjoyment, or he goes as a jnani, trying to achieve that Brahman, I am God, he is failure. He is failure. Because that is not his constitution. The fish cannot be satisfied unless it's in the water. I don't care what arrangement you make on the land for that fish, he will never, ever be satisfied. It is not possible. He'll never be satisfied. So we are trying in vain to make so many arrangements for happiness, for satisfaction in this world, and we're simply falling flat on our face. Utter failures. Krishna is making it so simple. If you do something, and everyone's doing something, isn't it? Everyone's doing something. If you do something, do it for me. That covers everyone. Even the Mayavadi's doing something. He's sitting there breathing, trying to do nothing, but he still breathes. He's still sitting. So if you're doing something, do it for Krishna. And if you're eating something, well, everybody eats. If you're eating something, then eat for Krishna. Eat prasadam. Eat the food which has been offered to the Lord. Krishna is taking the basic things that everyone does and he is simply saying, dovetail them with me. Connect them with me. Oh, son of Kunti. Why is Krishna saying that? Is he proud? Is he puffed up? Does he have a desire to be worshipped? I mean, what's going on in the mind of Krishna anyway? Why does he talk like this? If I came here and told you, okay, whatever you do, do it for me. Whatever you eat, you must offer it to me. You would think, oh, Sankarshan Prabhu is so puffed up. He's a madman, is he? Talking like that. So, Krishna, is he a madman when he's talking like this? Many people would say, yes, he's a madman. He has no right to make all these demands, that you must do everything for me. But no, Krishna is not a madman. You were a madman. If you do not accept Krishna, you are mad. Because, actually, everything is owned by Krishna. Bhagdaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. Actually, you cannot act outside of Krishna. It's by his energy that everything is going on. All Krishna is really saying is, you're already doing it for me anyway, whether you know it or not. Whether it's my spiritual energy or my material energy, you're already doing it for me. Just be conscious of what's actually happening. That's what he's really saying. All he's really saying is be conscious. Don't be unconscious. Because everyone's serving God. You see? Everyone's serving God already. Some are doing it consciously and some are doing it unconsciously. If you do it unconsciously, you end up doing it in the wrong way. Of course, there is a way of unconsciously doing it in the right way by the mercy of the devotees. It's called a jnata sukriti. But the general population, they are unconsciously serving God by serving his material energy. So here in Germany, there are different types of government institutions. You can become a student in the university and serve the orders of the professor and advance yourself with academic credentials and earning power in the future. Or you can serve by serving in the prison. And either way, you're serving under the direction of a government institution. But which service is better? Earning a college degree or smashing rocks? Is it? Material life means you are smashing rocks here in the three modes of nature. You're building up your castle in the sand and then you're washing it. You're watching it become washed by the waves when they come in. Castles made of sand are washed into the sea. No matter what empire you may build for yourself in this world, it will be smashed. Mogasha moga karma no, moga jnana vichetta saha, rakshasim masarim jaiva pakritam mohinim shritaha. Those who are thus bewildered are attracted by atheistic and demoniac views. In that deluded condition, their hopes for liberation, their fruit of activities, and their culture of knowledge are smashed to smithereens, obliterate. You think you can enjoy here? You just try. You'll be smashed. You think you can cultivate knowledge here? In your atheistic mentality, you just try. You will be smashed. You see? That's what Krishna said. For those fools who deride him, avajananti mangula manushim tanamashritam varparangbhavam ajanantomam abhutamaheshvaram. Those persons who deride Krishna, who accept him or take him as an ordinary man or as a mythological figure, they will be smashed. They will be smashed. And someone may say, but God is so cruel. Why doesn't he just let everybody enjoy? Why does he make all these rules and regulations that you have to surrender to me, or you have to chant my names, or you have to bow down to me and offer me food? Why doesn't he just be a nice person and let everybody be happy? Why does he make all these rules and regulations and all these restrictions and impositions? They say, well, God is cruel because unless you're devoted to him, he won't let you be happy. He's being very cruel. He should be just liberal and let everybody be happy, whether they're devoted to him or not. Like, people argue like that. Many people argue that way against God and Krishna. The fact. I have one course on the internet through email, and we have thousands of people in over 100 countries taking this course, and I get all kinds of questions, and this is a very common question that people ask me. Don't you think that God is cruel because he demands that you have to surrender? Why can't he just make a world where everybody's happy and there's no rapes, there's no murders, there's no cheating, where it's just a Vaikuntha and everybody's happy? You know, this is like what the Archbishop of Canterbury said: they want the kingdom of God without God, but they cannot have it. Prabhupada. So why is that? Is Krishna being unfair? Is he being cruel? No. Not at all. Krishna is giving us full facility to love him. Our very nature is that we are lovers of God. Okay? That is our very nature. We are lovers of God. So if we don't act according to our own nature, then it's a difficult situation. Just like our nature, the nature of this body is to take food through the mouth. You try to ingest food through your fingernails, it will be very difficult to get the nutrition. It's not the nature of the body. The nature of the body is to take foodstuff through the mouth. So the nature of the living being is to love God. By his or her very nature, he or she is meant to be a lover of God. So it's not that God is imposing anything on us. He's saying, okay, you can be whatever you want to be. I don't restrict you in any way. But if you be what you actually are, you try to be who and what you actually are, that will be much better for you. In our recent Round the World lecture series, our second to the last stop was the Fiji Islands. I remember when we were getting ready to depart, we were there at the Air Pacific check-in counter, and there was somebody in the line with us, and he was somebody who liked to defeat religious people. He said, "What's your belief?" So I immediately picked up on his vibration and I said, "Know who you are and be who you are. That is our philosophy." So he couldn't say anything to that. He came up with something else. He asked about the problem of evil in the world. Tried to defeat me on that one. And actually, he didn't defeat me on that one either. I said, "It's just like in Newton's law of motion. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction." And I quoted, Newton, one of his, material scientific heroes, to defend the law of karma, he couldn't say anything. Later on, he just smiled and waved at us. He had been defeated in his attempt to make us look like some religious nuts with his superior scientific knowledge. But anyway, the point I'm really making is that our philosophy is very simple. Our philosophy is simply know who you are and be who you are. That's all we're really saying. Krishna consciousness boils down to that simple point of knowing who you are and being who you are. That's really all we're up to in this Krishna consciousness movement. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we know that we are the eternal servant of Krishna. That's who we are. And then, by engaging in the process of Krishna consciousness, we get to be who we are. It's not just theoretical. It's not just jnana. Vijnana is also there. So this is our very sublime process. And in this particular verse, Krishna is giving the vijnana aspect of our Krishna consciousness process. So anyway, Vishnupriya Manaji, my wife here, and I are very happy to be here with you all. It was our first time. It's our second visit to Germany. We came last fall on our way to India on our Round the World tour. We stopped here. And now we're happy that on this tour, Krishna has arranged that we can come and get the enlivening association of all you devotees here. So thank you for welcoming us, and we hope that we can render some meaningful service to you when we're here. And if there are any questions, I'll be happy to try to answer them. Speak loudly and clearly. I'm half deaf. And the room is very big, so if there's any questions, I'll be happy to try to answer them. I think her hand was first.
About developing love for Krishna, how much is it Krishna's mercy which comes from it, and how much is it our own endeavor?
What's the question?
The question is how much we develop the love, is it from the Krishna's mercy?
How much is our developing love Krishna's mercy, and what's the other thing, our own endeavor? Yeah. Well, actually, it's all Krishna's mercy, because even your own ability to endeavor, that is also Krishna's mercy. That is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, "Rasoham apsukonteya prabhashmi shashashuryayo pranava sarvavedeshu shabdake parashamnushu." Krishna says, "I am the ability in man." So whatever ability you have to endeavor, that is also the mercy of Krishna. He has empowered you with the ability to endeavor. So actually, you're completely, it's 100% Krishna's mercy. Even your own ability to endeavor is the mercy of Krishna. He gives you the energy to endeavor. He gives you the intelligence to make the endeavor. He gives you the paraphernalia, the association, the intelligence. He gives you absolutely everything you need to make the endeavor to please Him. It's all coming from Him, by His mercy. So it's all mercy. But you have to capitalize on the mercy. That is your free will. You can, as they say in English, look the gift horse in the mouth, which means you neglect the mercy He's given you and not do anything with it. Just try to enjoy your senses. Or you can consciously choose with your free will to use everything He's giving you by His kindness for His service. You see? And then you become a self-realized, enlightened being who will eventually see Krishna face to face, eye to eye. Prabhupada told me that. He said, now you disqualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. His order. So, what can I do? I can try to do that. Even though I'm the most unqualified, you know, dog, still I have to try to become a pure devotee because Prabhupada ordered me to do that. Lord knows I'm a million miles away, but that's why I like to come here where there's so many advanced Vaishnavas so I can get purified by your association. Yes, Prabhu.
Coming back to what you said before about people asking, is God not cruel? Yeah? So Prabhupada wrote a letter to one of his disciples that not only eternal associates in the spiritual world, but also eternal associate in the material world, like Arjuna. And so, how is that to understand? Because when they're eternally here in Krishna, like Krishna says in the Gita, I know all the past lives of you, but you don't remember. So how many deaths these devotees have to die each time in order to be in Krishna's pastimes? So how do they really experience death if they're eternally here? Because their body is not going to be eternal.
What is
things? There are some eternal associates of Krishna in the spiritual world and some in here.
Right.
So how many births we have to take?
No, not how many births. The death experience. No?
How many death experiences?
Yeah, they must experience death, ordinary people. No, because
you're asking about Krishna's associates who are in the material world?
They also try.
How do they experience death?
Yeah.
And how many lives? How many deaths?
They're eternal. It means they always stay here because each time a material world is created, they're always here in us in participating in Krishna's.
Yes, so you're asking how do they experience death?
Yes. Is there any.
Without any anxiety?
Yeah, because it seems like a little cruel, not in that sense, that because they have to face death each time. Krishna not.
Prabhu, if I give you a new dhoti and I say, you know. Here's a brand new silk dhoti from Vrindavan. Go change your clothes. I mean, what's the problem?
Yeah, but it is not painful.
For someone who's fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, they're completely detached from the pains and pleasures of the world, actually. I mean, they may appear to be in a suffering condition, but they're not really. But then, it's just like there's a hurricane in the ocean. On the surface of the ocean, it's horrible turbulence. Huge, 20-foot waves. It's a horrible turbulence. But if you go deep, deep, deep within that ocean, the influence of that storm becomes less and less felt. And finally, if you get deep enough, there's absolutely no sign that there's a hurricane going on anywhere. It's totally serene and peaceful. So pure devotee can be in the midst of the most devastating, turbulent situation. And he can be reacting to it perfectly, but at the same time be totally untouched by it. That is called Paramahamsa. You see? He deals with it expertly. And he appears to even have emotions like an ordinary person sometimes. But yet he's completely transcendental to it. Look at Prabhupada's struggle with Mr. Nair in Bombay. I mean, it was very, very intense. And Prabhupada would become very, very angry sometime, like when Tamal Krishna Maharaj foolishly cancelled the purchase agreement under the influence of the lawyers who he thought were ISKCON's lawyers, who were actually working for Mr. Nair undercover. Prabhupada was so much disturbed, but actually it was Prabhupada who was simply fighting for Krishna at every step of the way. When the whole thing was over, Prabhupada said, "It was a good fight." So actually, for a Krishna conscious devotee, the struggles of this material world are simply an exciting adventure. How to serve the Lord. All the struggles that we are emotionally devastated by, that we find so disturbing, for him it's an exciting adventure. It's a chance to show Krishna how much he loves him and how dedicated he is to him. Prabhupada's struggle of coming to America was an opportunity for, just like a soldier goes into battle and he gets more ribbons on his uniform, Prabhupada was just getting more and more ribbons, more and more glories on his, he's becoming more and more glorious in the eyes of all the Vaishnavas, and more and more glorious in the eyes of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, more and more glorious in the eyes of Krishna by the struggle he went through in New York City to start this movement. So even though there may be a struggle, there may be difficulties. I mean, Prabhupada suffered 2 heart attacks on the boat. And he had to go through so much turmoil, but he did it in a very transcendental way. When a devotee is hit by turmoil, he simply uses it as a springboard to become more Krishna conscious. A diver will use a diving board to go up. But what does he do with that diving board before he goes up? He pushes it down. He goes down on the diving board and then he gets more powerful going up. So a devotee may sometimes appear to be devastated or pushed down by the material nature. But actually all he's doing is increasing his upward momentum. Just like the diver on the diving board. First thing he does, he goes down on the board, and that makes the board go up with great power. The bouncing effect of the board. So a devotee will sometimes be put in a situation which appears to be like Prabhupada in Jhansi. He lost everything. But that defeat in Jhansi was a springboard to Prabhupada's success with ISKCON. So whether it's, having to change bodies and be put into apparently difficult situation, these things are all the arrangement of Krishna with his pure devotees, simply to increase the glories of his pure devotees. Prabhupada explains in his purport, in the 3rd canto, that the Lord likes to see his devotee as the hero of some episode of which he himself, namely Krishna, is the actual doer. So Krishna puts his devotees sometimes in very difficult situations, problematic situations, simply to show to the whole world what a great personality they actually are, so that their glories and the appreciation that people have for his pure devotees increases many, many fold. So whatever difficulties a devotee may go through by participating in the pastimes of the Lord are simply there to increase the glories of those devotees, what they're willing to go through to serve Krishna. If it means, staying in the material world and going through old age and death again and again, or whatever it may mean, those things are all there to increase the glories of those devotees. But there's an interesting point, now that you bring up devotees who are with Krishna eternally in the material world. Prabhupada points out in the Bhagavatam purport that Prahlad Maharaj is simultaneously in the spiritual world and the material world, both at the same time. So it's actually possible for a devotee to be in both worlds at the same time. I mean, we even see it, just like I was reading the Gaura Ganadesha Deepika. All the who's who of Chaitanya Leela, who they were in Krishna's Leela. So it's interesting that We know from the first canto of the Bhagavatam that in Goloka Vrindavan there's the Chaitanya neighborhood and the Krishna neighborhood. And we can understand that the devotees are having dual pastimes simultaneously. They're simultaneously participating as a certain personality in Gaura Leela and as a different personality in Krishna Leela, and there's no reason that cannot be true for each and every one of us, actually, when we go back to Godhead. So the Gaura Leela people, they came 500 years ago to this world and they were doing ordinary things like getting old and dying. See, getting old and dying, like Haridas Thakur. While at the same time, they have another identity with Krishna in a different form going on at the same time. So this stuff is pretty inconceivable for us. But if we really want to find out what it's all about, it's real simple. You just have to become a pure devotee and go back to Godhead. And then you'll actually know this stuff firsthand.
And one devotee just said also that maybe part of us, of each jiva, is in the spiritual world and here, but nobody knows of each other.
We have our, even at this very minute, we have our identity in the spiritual world, our sarup, but it's in a dormant state right now. It's gone, it's like we've taken a leave of absence from our position. Just like you're working for a company, you have a position, it's a defined position, you got your cubicle, you know, your desk, you got your nameplate there, it's all there, but you're on a leave of absence. So actually, we have an identity in the spiritual world, in the pastimes of Krishna. But right now, we're just on a leave of absence. You know, we got, you know, sick leave. So when we recover, then we'll come back to our position and we'll have all our relationships, everything will be there. But the beautiful thing about it, it's really wonderful, is Prabhupada said we'll have another ISKCON there. So that means that, and I also read one letter when I was in Vrindavan recently on Prabhupada's desk in his room. He was saying, well, actually remember the devotional activities we did here, so that actually means that we can remember this discussion we had tonight. That you and I will remember this conversation we had right now, and we're back in our eternal rasa in the spiritual world, be able to relate to what we were doing here, you know, sitting in front of Prabhupada and having this discussion about, you know, what we're learning from him. So it's so much nectar, it's really inconceivable. We just have to stay on the pathway and then it will all be revealed in due course. Incredible nectar beyond our wildest dreams is awaiting us. If we just stick with this process and don't become allured by you-know-who. Srimati Maya Devi. We don't want to give in to Maya. I mean, you know, she allures us, you know, come on, I'll give you sex. Come on, I'll give you money. Come on, I'll give you prestige. Come on, I'll give you power. He used to say, Maya, sit down. I haven't finished my rounds yet. Whatever you want, I'll do, but let me finish my japa first. Like Haridas Thakur. I remember one time I was preaching with Giriraj Swami. Similar sort of a situation is what I just gave example. It was actually quite funny. He was going out to do the life membership preaching. He went to a wedding party just to make contacts so he can make appointments with all these, you know, Indian gentlemen to make them ISKCON life members. So it was a big, huge wedding, you know, a big, huge banquet was being served. Of course, it wasn't offered, you know, vegetarian dinner, but, you know, boga. So they kept saying, oh, Maharaj, Maharaj, come and take prasad, take dinner, take the dinner. He said, yes, 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 just now coming. And then he would go and get a few more names and phone numbers for life member appointments. I watched him the whole evening. They kept saying, Maharaj, Maharaj, come and take the dinner now. He said, yes, just now coming, just now coming. And finally the whole dinner was over and he was getting the last appointment. And he never took. But he was always pacifying. Yes, yes, I will come take the dinner. But no, wait, just a minute, wait a minute. And you go off and get a few more appointments set up for life membership. So a devotee is like that. Even if the material energy says, come on, come on, enjoy. You say, all right, just egg minute, just now coming. And then you go do, you know, you go ahead and do a more devotional service. you know, distribute a few more books, you know, open a few more temples, whatever, you know, make a few more devotees, you know, milk a few more cows or whatever. And then Maya again says, yes, Maya, I'm just not coming. Wait, wait, wait. And that way, we can keep Maya at bay and stay engaged in Krishna consciousness and become pure devotees. So anyway, is there any more questions? So we thank you all very much. Raja Vidya, Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.